and our Redeemer. In which we begin again. Late last fall, I was reading a post by Jan Richardson, an author, artist, and minister, about an Advent retreat she would be offering in December. As I read her description of the retreat, the theme she had chosen for the first Sunday of Advent, the beginning of the Christian year, caught my attention. In which we begin again. I had to stop and think about it, reread it, turn it over in my mind. What does it mean to begin again, as opposed to just begin? Richardson's description goes on to say, Advent is the start of the sacred year. This turning invites us to begin again and again, to undertake beginning as a practice and an art, with all its messiness and wonder. What threshold waits for us right now, and where do we find the courage to cross it? I have a tendency to want to start things over completely, from scratch, rather than to continue with something I've begun. For example, I may begin writing a draft of a paper, a letter to a friend, a sermon, get dissatisfied with how I've started and want to toss out my idea completely and start on a different one. I sometimes start new again and again until I run out of time to complete the paper, or until it feels too late to send the letter to the friend. The funny thing is that after time has passed, I sometimes stumble upon a paper draft that I set aside, or a letter I began but never finished and sent, and realize, with the benefit of distance and hindsight, that the first start wasn't so bad after all. And my friend would have much preferred to receive an imperfect letter than no letter at all. So why do I feel the need to start over and over and over? Could I learn, instead of throwing the first idea away, to step away for a bit, then come back to it, and begin again with what I've started, instead of starting fresh on a new topic or approach entirely? If you are yourself a perfectionist or know someone who is, the pattern I just described may be very familiar to you. But I think this pattern occurs beyond perfectionism. We experience the desire to scrap the old and start new in many parts of our lives. We give up on what we've begun, or what we have now, in favor of some imagined perfect thing we think we could have if we just started over at the beginning from scratch. Perhaps it's a conversation that we have and we feel so awkward or disappointed by how it went that we wish we could pretend it never happened and avoid any future conversations with that person. Perhaps we feel like we've made bad decisions or failed to start right at a job, in a home, or with a relationship, and we feel like a new city, a new job, or a new relationship will fix our problems. Perhaps sometimes we even want a new self, just want to wake up and be a new person starting over. If only I could do things again, knowing what I know now. Why is it so hard to begin again with what we've got instead of trying to start fresh? We may want something that's clean and bright, or maybe we want the novelty, the excitement of something new. When we think back on things we feel we've messed up, we may feel embarrassment and shame, and we just want to separate ourselves from any reminders of that. Sometimes the thing we've begun doesn't remind us of failures, but of people who aren't with us, of places we've left. And it's hard to pick up again where we left off because things just aren't the same. Or we may feel the world is so out of whack, so out of our control, that we want to make sure that everything we can control is perfect, that we make all the right decisions, that we have only beautiful things that we love in our homes. How can we resist this tendency to throw away or count for less the old, the broken, the imperfect things, the dingy or torn or in need of mending, and instead move toward beginning again, working with what we have, not giving up on what we've started? The stories of our faith are helpful here. Just as we have stories of God creating, beginning something brand new, so too do we have stories of God redeeming, taking a person or sometimes a whole people who have failed and renewing them, enabling them to begin again. The passage we heard this morning, for instance, which comes at the end of the story of Noah's Ark. The story begins, as you know, with God seeing the evil of the humans he had made. And the Lord regretted having made the human on earth and was grieved to the heart. So God decided to destroy all humans and everything else he had made, with the exception of Noah, a righteous man, and his family and pairs of animals. But after the destruction is over and the humans and animals leave the ark, God makes a commitment to Noah and his family and every creature that was on the ark. God establishes a covenant that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. The rainbow, God's bow in the sky, is a reminder of this covenant. God will not wipe out humankind and animal kind again, even when strife and envy have arisen again. Instead of starting over from scratch with new people, God will need to work with the messed up, broken people who are there to teach them, to call them to renewal. And then we see this work, God's work of redemption, continuing in the Old Testament story, in Jesus' story, and all the way into the future envisioned in Revelation of a new heaven and a new earth. When the one who is seated on the throne says, "See, I am making all things new." It is important that we understand God as both creator and redeemer. Understanding God as creator reminds us to appreciate the gifts of generativity and creativity. These are the gifts that allow us to begin. Understanding God as Redeemer reminds us to appreciate the gifts of forgiveness and renewal, of persistence and patience. These are the gifts that allow us to begin again. So, what does this look like? To begin again what we've started? How do we practice beginning with all its messiness and wonder? It helps simply to remember that, as Jan Richardson suggests, our path emerges from what has gone before. We may be frustrated or embarrassed by a past mistake, but making and learning from that mistake is what makes us the person we are now. We may miss what we had before, but even in a new place, even in different situations with different people, we carry with us the ways we have been shaped by them. It helps sometimes to stop and take a breath, to acknowledge the imperfection of our efforts, and then move forward anyway as best we can. Of course, there are times when we need a completely fresh start. We may need to be free of a habit that's harmful to us and others. We may need to be free of a relationship that's toxic or dangerous. The damage to a building may be too great and its structure no longer sound. It may need to be torn down. But many times we are called to come back to things we'd rather give up on, to refresh their beauty, to renew our commitment, to begin again. Perhaps you can practice beginning again by going back to the draft you started, or the piece of music you began to learn. Perhaps you can have a hard conversation in a relationship, offer an apology or explain what was hurtful to see if the relationship can grow again. Perhaps you can simply look around and see something good in where you are now. Speaking about endings and beginnings, Jan Richardson says, "Closure is not a word that resonates for me. I am drawn instead to the way that our path emerges from what has gone before." A little more about Jan's story. Jan lost her husband, Gary, unexpectedly during what they both expected to be a routine heart procedure at the beginning of Advent in 2014. She is an artist, he a musician. The year before he died, she and he had begun to put together online Advent and Lent retreats, combining her writing and art with his music and an online forum for people to share their experiences. After he died, she did not continue to hold these retreats. But last December, 4 years after he died, she decided to begin holding them again. It's a beginning, but not of a completely new thing. It's something that grows out of what came before, out of what she shared with Gary. She is not starting from scratch. And yet it is a new thing. It is, of course, different now than it would be with the two of them together. Giving herself space and time away was, of course, helpful and necessary. And yet the practice of beginning again is also a gift that opens her to receive new gifts. This is what Jan said about deciding to hold the retreat again. "Closure is not a word that resonates for me. I am drawn instead to the way that our path emerges from what has gone before. In the past few months, my emerging path has included some big steps. Each step and every decision has been inspired and infused by the life I shared with Gary, by the ongoing gift of his unstoppable heart, and by a mysterious grace that makes it possible to hope and to dream anew of the life that is unfolding for me still." So let us consider ways we may be called to begin or to begin again. Let us consider what threshold waits for us now, and where we find the courage to cross it. As we contemplate beginning again, let us make sure to notice the rainbow, this reminder that God hasn't given up on the world or on us. God won't forget his rainbow promise, not to replace us with a better model, not to start from scratch, but to renew us, to make us and all things new. Amen.
Please stand if you are able, and in the blue hymnal, number 320, O Holy City, Seen of John, number 320. To sneak in one more announcement before we sing. Did you see in your bulletin two places that says that worship is at a different time next week? And I just want to make sure we say it out loud because sometimes we look at the bulletin and then it gets recycled. Next week we have a joint service with Fellowship of Hope and it's going to be here. And what we do on those joint services is we compromise. We start a little later than usual and they start a little earlier. So we're meeting in the middle and worship next week only is going to be at 10 o'clock. You can still come at 9:30, you just get to drink coffee first. So please remember that and come back and worship here with us and Fellowship of Hope next week. For offering, you need the green book, number 18, Over My Head. We start with the refrain. I will sing the solo parts, and I hope that you will be singing the humming parts and the harmony parts. But if you feel like singing with me on the solo, you could come up and do that too. So we're in the green book, number 18.
Let us pray. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. The Lord's steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for the steadfast love endures forever. We give thanks for love that comes to every new beginning and every beginning again when we rise and start. We are thankful for this new baby, this new beginning, this life, and ask that your blessings be poured out on Leo and Alicia and Leonardo Benjamin and the whole family and his business and the community they are part of, and bless us to receive and nurture this child. Thank you for Jesse and Leslie and family and Kevin and the journey that they're on, and bless it and bless all those who come today, visitors and the regulars that show up faithfully, trusting that this is the place to be nourished. We're thankful for new beginnings, for Mary's gift and her call and passion for ESL. We are thankful for the faithful service of Dorothy and pray that you bless her time away and watch over her. We are grateful for the servant heart of Al and Lois and how they have worked so hard here, and now they travel to help others. Open the way before them. Carry forward and bless. And for those hopes that we each bring, the beginnings we hope for, may we open to the rain, the flood of your blessing. The Lord's steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, stretch out your hand around the world for the many tragedies and despair that it carries, for those seeking asylum and being turned away in our own borders. Open a way, open hearts, that each person in this country will feel a response. Stretch out your hand around the world where many flee, seeking safety and home. And stretch out your arms now to the needs that are here in our city, in our schools, here in this congregation. Stretch out your arms to those here who need a home, a way forward, a safe place, who live with broken lives. Find the way forward, open the door. Lord, give us the call to be part of a community and a church that extends your arms and hands to the world. And here within this building, within our life together, in the conversations as people think and respond and imagine, call forward the ideas, bring out the energy, that as together we find our own way forward for Prairie Street Mennonite Church. And we remember that in your story of the flood, your covenant was with the creatures. And so for Mike's dog, Sammy, we pray for health and strength, and health and strength in a home, that again, your good work, your love, your faithfulness will come forward. And we believe in the new heaven and the new earth, where finally the death and the destruction will be left behind. And because we believe in the new world, in the kingdom of God, and we believe in Jesus, we reach to the prayer that Jesus gave us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
In the blue hymnal, number 299, please stand if you are able.
Receive this benediction. Jesus told his followers, Peace I give you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. Do not be afraid. Be on your way. Amen.
Amen.